truthfully, what happens is, as children grow up, we start to educate them progressively from the waist up. And then we focus on their heads, and slightly to one side.
I think in the old days, you know, you were better off. Because nowadays, they're all specialists. Everyone's becoming better and better, and less and less. And eventually, someone's going to be superb at nothing.
Our education system has mined our minds in the way that we've strip-mined the earth for a particular commodity. And for the future, it won't serve us. We have to rethink the fundamental principles on which we're educating our children.
We're not here to tell everybody that they're wrong and we're right. We're not saying that we have all the answers, but we'd like to present a different way of looking at it.
Hello, listeners. We're back. Welcome to China Education, episode 4,152.6, isn't it, Will?
I believe your calculations are slightly off. Just slightly.
Episode 15, I'm being told, of China Education. And I think our listeners haven't heard your lovely voice for quite a while. What have you been up to? Where have you been?
I've been here, but where here is, nobody quite knows. So, no, been around. I guess both Chris and I have been busy of late, so it's been difficult for us to meet up.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people have been saying on the website you've been off to New York or something. Is that true? Have you been?
No.
Must be another William.
No, I've just been going through a whole bunch of travel photos and experiences that I had many years ago.
Ah.
And finally getting off my butt and actually doing something with them. So, yeah.
There you go. For anyone who's thinking Will's been away and living the high life and drinking... What's that cocktail? The famous cocktail? The New York... It's not the most cosmopolitan. Or is it?
I don't know.
No.
Not a cocktail person. Sorry.
You do come across as one.
I better fix that.
What is it? What's the one in New York that you've had? I can't remember. And I was sick after when I was a teenager, and I've never had it again. It blocked it from my mind. Okay, so you've been from scrapping up stuff there, and yeah, we haven't been there. I mean, I've just been mega busy with things. Of course, we've had our new baby, the recent arrival, my third boy, next in line. Young Max, so he's doing great, which is wonderful. And again, I just feel like a full-time admin clerk for bureaucratic means. To be honest, I'm either doing visas or I'm doing passport applications. It is just unbelievable the amount of time I spend on this kind of stuff. You know what? I'm just so fed up with it.
Yeah, I understand. We had more than our fair share of that, but I mean, it's a little bit easier with my wife being Chinese.
Credit for that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still, she still has to jump through very similar hoops. There's just slightly less time wasted because she can cut through the language barrier so easily.
Mm.
But it's still the same amount of bureaucratic bollocks.
Bureaucratic bollocks, and it is just really quite incredible the amount of stuff and the amount of places you have to go to. And yeah, I have to go to Guangzhou to pick the passport up. They can't just send it in the post anymore
could
for my first son. So I have to go to Guangzhou to apply for the passport. Then you wait for the passport to be sent from England to Guangzhou. You have to go all the way back to Guangzhou to pick the passport up.
Right.
You think in this day and age that be able to work something else out, apart from me having to get like four trains and travel 150 kilometres each way.
Yep.
Anyway, that's that. It puts you off having another child. I think we might make that one the last, Will.
Okay.
We're blessed with three.
Yeah.
Do we need more?
Oh, well, you do have lovely children. I would suggest stopping.
Yeah, well, it would stop the paperwork at least in some part.
Exactly.
Okay, well, look, let's get back into all things teachery. Episode 15. I think actually before we start, I've been told we're going to have our joke, I think. Joke of the week. Let's start with that.
May the smile be with you.
Thank you.
So, little Johnny's chemistry teacher.
Already good.
Do you have a little Johnny D? Is a
I probably know some of them, yeah.
Little Johnny's chemistry teacher wanted to teach his class a lesson about the evils of liquor, alcohol. So he set up an experiment that involved a glass of water, a glass of whiskey, and two worms. Now, class, observe what happens to the two of the worms, said the professor, putting the first worm in the glass of water. So, as you would imagine, the worm in the water moved around, twisting and seemingly unharmed. He then dropped the second worm into the whiskey glass. But as you can imagine, it kind of moved around and breathed in pain for a moment, then quickly sank to the bottom and died. Poor worm. Now, kids, what lesson can we derive from this experiment, he asked. Little Johnny raised his hand and wisely responded, drink whiskey and you won't get worms.
Nice.
Now, I think Johnny's going to grow up to be a clever boy, I think.
Yeah.
Right-headed thinker, a real out there and about. Let's look at this from another angle.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Did you pick that joke specifically for today?
I it wasn't picked for me specifically for today. No, you know how it is. Will, I just walk in and and our researchers give us the stuff.
Oh, this is true. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I did pick it up, but it was quite unconscious, and I actually quite like that one. I hope it's made a few of you laugh and not turn the podcast off. So, Will, what are we getting into today? What is our main subject, Tano?
I think today, if we're continuing on our examination of the current state of affairs as far as the education systems around the world go, I guess we're up to that point where I guess we can look at how the education system fails to serve the needs of the children that actually are within it. And the reason why I asked if you had or if the researchers had specifically found that joke for this episode, it's just because I wanted to talk a little bit about children who don't quite fit inside the mold that the education systems... they don't quite fit inside the mold of the education system.
Like little Johnny.
Correct, yeah. So he's not wrong, is he?
He's little not Johnny. Wrong, actually, is he at all?
I mean, okay, sure, perhaps we should... take a different type of medicine to get rid of our worms more effectively, but it's a good start.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
that is a little scientist, and saying he is wrong from what he observed would be, you know, actually that wouldn't be very good, would it?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, indeed. But before you continue, then
sure,
just to go back because it has been a while. We did a pod on the state of education, which I think we tried to sum up quite succinctly, and there was a great video that I think we posted afterwards, recommended to the listeners. And if you haven't watched that, I really would listen to it. It's very clever and funny, and it's got a lot of useful info in. So today we're moving into that in a sense, and we're looking at these kids then that are maybe not the correct fit of cookie for the cookie cutter.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a little bit about this before, but I guess we can talk about it here as well. Mm. That, I mean, do you know who Jack Ma is?
Yeah, the owner of Alibaba, isn't it? Alibaba.
Yeah, he created...
Hangzhou-based company.
Mm-hmm. He created Alibaba, AliExpress, and those group of companies. I think they've recently got into actually producing movies for Hollywood, like giving money to Hollywood to make movies as well. Which is quite interesting.
That is interesting. We should invite him on. We've talked about this before on the show for episode 100
right.
of the show. We get Mr. Mar on.
That would be amazing.
If we're a lucky bunch of horses.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, carry on.
Well, it's just interesting. He's such a successful person. And there's plenty more out there that we could mention, but I guess we could just talk about him for today. He really, really struggled in school.
Yeah.
He was such a poor student that basically people just kept handing them up the chain, hopefully wishing that he would just, you know, be out of their lives and be someone else's problem. And eventually he did get let into a university, and they passed him because nobody really fails university here. After university, he went to try and get a job at KFC. At KFC, he wasn't accepted for the job.
Really?
There were 25, oh, sorry, Yeah, there were 25 applicants. 24 of them got positions, and he did not.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. Maybe just a thing.
I think that was a really good thing for yes. him and for the rest of us, to be honest. Because, I mean, without him having so many difficulties and not being able to get a job like that, he had to make it work somehow. And I think, really, it points to the fact that the education system is built for certain types of people. And those people will usually succeed very well in those sort of systems. But people that don't fit the mold, who are, you know, extremely creative or think differently than other people, they don't do well. And it doesn't mean that they're not good people and they're not smart and they have nothing to contribute. It's just the way that our societies are based that we kind of consider that if you don't pass these things and don't go through these institutions, that therefore you're not someone of worth to us, which, I mean, quite clearly is well, wrong. There's so many examples of it.
I mean, teaching a lot of young kids that I have, you can always tell, you know, they always say that you have different types of learners, right? And I like that, but again, we as humans, we like to just kind of segregate things and put them in boxes, yeah?
Yeah.
It's got to all be black and white to make sense. It's either right or wrong, good or bad. And I think within a classroom, say, of 30 students, I think all of us have certain strengths and weaknesses, of course. But, you know, if I was to say that you're just an auditory learner, or if a visual learner, I don't think that's right. I think you may have more of an emphasis on auditory. That's what I'm kind of saying. It's a bit more colourful than black or white.
Right.
But I do notice, like, especially young, and I'm sure it goes through as they get older, that some kids really do need to be more kinesthetic with their learning, and they
definitely
need to be up and they need to be using their body.
Right.
And I often cringe with myself when you're in a class and you can tell those kids very early on, but what can you do when the systems that a teacher may be under and a curriculum that you may have to be following states that you might not have much time to create that kind of enrichment activities for those kids? It's quite difficult. I mean, there's a lot of teachers out there listening now that are like, I wish I could do that for Johnny, but I got my hands tied. So here's my point, Will, from all of this that we can go on about, what's the solution? Or what are the solutions? What are you thinking about this?
Quite honestly, it's going to sound harsh, but I think that's a giant cop-out on the part of a teacher that stands there and says, I wish. Well, okay, that's nice, but what are you actually doing about it? Like, unfortunately, there are a lot of teachers who go to their job, and they do their job, and then they go home at the end of the day. And that's fine. If you're that type of teacher, you know, that's fine, but don't then stand there and go, oh, I wish I could do something about it, and then just not. That's hypocritical. There are a ton of resources out there that will support your curriculum and also support the learners. If you're somebody who says that you're stuck to a curriculum, like we were here at Young Wing, you know, we had to slavishly teach the book, but we still made sure, well, I can't speak for all of the teachers there at the moment. I don't know all of them.
Yeah.
But I know my colleagues and I, on the Chinese side as well, made sure that we addressed these issues in the classroom. And we wouldn't segregate children, okay, all kinesthetic learners come here.
Yeah.
You know, we just made sure that we had multiple ways for children to actually not only receive the material, but to show how and what they've learned as well. And there's always something that you can do to support a child in their learning journey. Like, yeah, so...
Even if you have 30 or 40 kids in your class, it's just a little bit more difficult.
It's more work on your part, but at the end of the day, you've chosen this profession.
Yeah.
And if you have chosen this as your profession, then you need to be a professional about it. Professionals care about the standards to which they hold themselves, or they should be holding themselves to a standard. Even if that's your standard and not someone else's, if you're not being an effective teacher, I think that at the end of the day, you have to be honest with yourself. If you're not putting in that type of effort, you're not being an effective teacher.
Go to KFC.
Or get yourself a
thing they call burger, which I don't think is a burger, and look if they are looking for jobs.
Perhaps.
It's a possibility, isn't it?
I think the other possibility is just being honest with yourself and saying to yourself, okay, I'm not the type of teacher that knows how to do this. I'm not the type of person that feels comfortable in stepping outside. That's nice. Look around. Get advice from someone else. Mm. If you're teaching here in China, you probably have a co-teacher. Ask them. I know my co-teacher, I was really lucky. She was very good at picking up where I was making mistakes, and I learned to pick up where she was making mistakes or dropping the ball. And we just bounced off of each other really well. We had a really good working relationship. And I know not every working relationship is good here. There have been some, you know, definite horror stories that I've heard firsthand. Mm. But really, we have to take responsibility for the things that are within our sphere of influence. And one of those things is the children in our classes.
Taking that a step further then, focusing out a little bit, because we've made a kind of a claim of what the state of education is.
Okay.
And we're suggesting now that people like Johnny maybe not fit in into this cookie cutter kind of way of teaching our kids. But what was it that you called it? How you titled this again? What we're talking about?
A breaking the mold.
A breaking the mold, yeah. So to break the mold, one of those solutions would be then to have proactive teachers, passionate teachers, which, yep, of course is the same in any job, anything we do in the world. You know, yep, passionate, proactive people are going to make the most positive change. Yeah?
This is true. Yep.
So that's the first thing. And so if there's teachers out there that are, because I've met many who have been teaching for years, mm-hmm, and they feel their way is the best way, and it's almost like there's a bubble around them, and if anyone says anything, you just go straight through them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there in itself lies a, how should you say, the old institution of the red brick wall, so to speak, in a way. And where we have the new education, you know, we've got new, it's, we're in an information world now. You know, there's everything is on our, not doorstep, but fingertips, yeah? Like you said, if you want to get that information.
Right.
I feel there needs to be, to second that, okay, so proactive, positive teachers,
yep,
to break the mold of this. I feel we also need a proactive, positive community around the teachers.
Definitely.
What I see a lot of in China is you have, say, your co-teacher, and if that's a good relationship, then that's great for the kids and for both of you. But then what's outside that classroom? You know, do you have your other teachers? Do you meet a lot in a positive way? Mm. When you meet, are you talking about things that have worked, things that haven't worked, things to maybe try next week, how to enrich this certain part of the curriculum that clearly needs enriching? You know, there needs to be more of a coaching, open, reflective.
Yes.
Reflective environment. Would you say, well, as well, that goes with that proactive teacher? In a way, that would help to make that proactive teacher.
I think that's definitely something that needs to happen. It just requires people being humble enough to say, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
My way is not the best way. I'm open to learning more things.
Yeah.
And you could learn things from co-teachers. You could learn things from new teachers that have come in. And you could learn things from the teachers that have been there for many years. Everybody has something of value for you to learn.
Yeah.
So just being open to that is really important.
Good points, Will. Like them. So anything else to break the mold? Have you got some curved ball that you're going to pull out? Oh, he's picking something up big from under his desk, listen.
No. I mean, it's recognizing that an education system for the future really should be a framework and not a mold. Like, if you think about the way we've made things in the past, if we can just go down a long analogous route here. So before, if you were making a statue, you would cast it, and perhaps you would make a mold of that.
Yeah.
And anything that didn't fit in the mold would get cut away and ground off, or, you know, thrown away, or put back into the pile. Now we have 3D printing materials, and they print it bit by bit, and everything has its place, and there's very little waste. And just recently, they've taken that another step further, where they've taken part of the old, the mold, and the injection sort of 3D printing thing, and they've combined them together. So now they have this this medium. It's basically it's a gel that the injection nozzle for the 3D printer goes into and creates, using pressure and knowledge of the gravity of the gel that it's in,
creates the entire thing that they want to print suspended in this gel, and you can just pull the object out of the gel. And there's very little waste. Everything has its place. So basically, they haven't thrown away what was in the past.
Yeah.
And they haven't completely gone, oh, 3D printing, nothing else. They've sort of combined the two ideas eventually, and they've got this really efficient... you can even print metal in there, and it's going to work. It's a really efficient way of creating something new that was better than anything that came before. Sticking with those technology, that idea of technology, really the jobs of today are going to be disappearing so quickly due to automation. If we don't prepare children to deal with that, either to be the kids who are making these automated robots or even the programs that are powering them, there's not going to be any jobs for them. You know, there's the economist model that there's always going to be work for humans.
Mm.
It's really turning out to be not true. In the future, we are going to be, and you can see it on YouTube at the moment, people are going to be playing and getting paid for it, because that we'll have more time on our hands. There's less drudgery that needs to happen.
I think that's wonderful.
Isn't it?
In a way, yeah.
Right? So artists are going to be more of the norm, and you'll be paid for following your passion. You know, that it's just the way that the world is going. And sending kids to a university in the hopes that even if it's a top-tier university, well... All the Fortune 500 companies in the world only will consider, you know, students from the top universities. Mm. Okay, so how many jobs are going each year from these 500 companies? And guess what? These companies are getting...
Yeah.
There's going to be less companies that are holding more of that power at the top. There's going to be fewer jobs. It's no more of a gamble than following your passion. Actually, it's more of a gamble than following your passion, because if you can do the thing that you enjoy and get paid for it, and like Gary Vaynerchuk would say, you know, you earn $10,000 a year, but you're the happiest person on the planet, well, isn't that a good thing?
Well, absolutely it is, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it really is. If anyone out there doesn't know what they're wanting to do in life, I would say, I say it to my sons, do what you enjoy doing, really, because money will come just from the whole attraction and passion that you create with it. So the old molds, we throw out the old molds, and we use this one that could be changed into different molds. I think that makes a lot of sense. But again, it's not an overnight process, this, especially with the way our world is in education. Of course, China, completely different in a way to where we're from, in England and in America. Okay, well, we've wobbled a bit of the jelly, shall we say.
Hmm.
So let's wobble away.
All right.
Because I think it's time for Word of the Week. On the sounds and the words of yesterday. That's my one then, today. I just love this word. I use it a lot. I even use it when I shouldn't use it. You ready?
It's good.
Oxymoron.
Mm.
Yeah. I even like to say, God, that's very oxymoronic. And I don't even know if that's right. Can I say that is oxymoronic?
Don't put me on the spot. Mm. That one, I'll spend all day trying to figure it out.
Well, if anyone who doesn't know, or they do know, let me confirm what you think it is. I just love the, you know, it's got moron in it, and you can use moron, and it's kind of okay. Yeah? So basically, it's a noun, a figure of speech in which apparently contradictory terms appear in conjunction. Example: faith unfaithful kept him falsely true. Now I'm going to give you some more everyday life oxymorons, so you know when somebody or you are being oxymoronic. You've probably used or at least heard some oxymorons in your everyday life. You ready for this? Jumbo shrimp. Cruel to be kind. Pain for pleasure. You are clearly confused.
That's good.
Well, act naturally. I always tell you that.
Mm.
Act naturally. Gosh, that is painfully beautiful. Ooh. Listen to that deafening silence.
Well, that's a good metaphor, but all right, yeah.
She's pretty ugly. And of course, are you going to come later? Definitely, maybe. So there's lots of them we use. Mm. So it's that complete yin and yang in the same sentence.
In New Zealand, we're fond of, yeah, nah.
Yes. Which would mean maybe then, or?
It's kind of like, yeah, kind of, well, yeah, sure. It's a very non-committal answer.
Well, yeah. Hey, I believe we are living in a very non-committal world at the moment. With all these options available.
You might be right.
The information around. The amount of people that say they're going to do things and then don't do them and do something else. Gets on my knackers. Anyway, listen to this. Henry Ford. A business that makes nothing but money is a poor business. There you go. There's an oxymoron. He was being oxymoronic. I am busy doing nothing. Well, that's something. A little pain never hurt anyone. Oh, Anthony Warhol, the artist. I'm deeply... this is a good one. I'm a deeply superficial person.
Ooh, nice.
No one goes to that restaurant anymore. It's always too crowded. And Winston Churchill. A joke is actually an extremely, really serious issue. Mm. It is quite deep.
Mm.
Yeah. There you go. Oxymoron. Try and be as oxymoronic as possible. So there we go. Right, Will.
Yes.
Teacher's tip. A recipe for success
if you want to compete. Right, well, I think I have to, now, I'm not being paid to say this at all, but I have to give you guys one of my secret weapons. It's called superteacherworksheets.com.
Hang on, was that the big thing you were bringing out from under your desk?
No, leave my wads of money out of it. No, it saved my butt many times. The reason I like it is because they have, it's not just English. It has basically all of the subjects, maybe not so many of the arts. But math, English, science is represented. But you can basically find a really good worksheet that fits a certain, it's by different grade levels. I think it's gone up to about $20 a year.
Right.
I found it was really, really useful. There's a bunch of free ones that you can try before you buy them. I used to use them for holidays. They've got a bunch of holiday worksheets, and
okay.
They do like a seasonal holiday promotion every year, which is great. I just found they're a really good supplement for like problem solving at the start of a class or just fun grammar exercises and things like that. Yeah.
So, gorgeous. So yeah, go over that again. What was it?
Superteacherworksheets.com, and it's all spelled out. If you just Google super teacher worksheets, then you should be able to find it.
And you can get there'll be some freebies there, but obviously if you want more stuff, and it's $20 a year, which is really nothing if it's something that you'd use on a regular basis.
Well, sometimes you go into teachers pay teachers, and that's a good website too. But like some of those things are already $20 for one
for
exercise.
Each, yeah, I see
right?
what you mean.
So they're really well done, really well thought out.
Mm. I've totally forgot what you said again. Super Teacher Weekly, man.
Yes, except worksheets. Superteacherworksheets.com.
Is that an oxymoron? Oh, we'll leave it under the list. Well, it's been good to see you. We got to go to class as always. So.
I kind of feel like we left them hanging a bit. We said we were going to give them some answers this week, but I don't think we did. I think we raised more questions.
Well, and that's good. I think little Johnny would.
Oh yeah, no. Be more. Here's a takeaway: be more reflective and be more humble and open to ideas. There you go.
Absolutely, and that engenders into the whole idea of breaking the mold, yeah?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah. And I guess next time we talk, we can talk about more of a general, bigger solution, or a larger solution that we can start aiming towards.
Oh, well, you're really aiming for... We've got to keep it simple, I think, now. So, hang on a minute. What was it I have to be? Humble? What was the other thing?
Yeah, just be humble and
open to
learning new things.
Learning new things. Is there anything else?
No, I think we're good.
Everyone go and look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, yeah, can you do at least one of those things?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm off before class. I'm going to buy myself some jumbo shrimps. It's cool to be kind. Thanks, listeners.
If you you enjoy listening to the China Jedi podcast and want to get involved, either by asking a question, expressing your opinion, good or bad, light or dark, or even appearing as a special guest, then get in touch by emailing our team at info@chinajedi.com. That's info@chinajedi.com.
May the smile be with you.